Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. A woman who is a television morning show anchor in Biloxi, Mississippi, just lost her job because she refused to get the COVID vaccine. She said that she preserved her integrity. Her name is Megan Gray. And she posted on her Facebook page that she was told by the bosses of her company that if she did not comply with the corporate policy, which says all employees and guests and outside contractors and tenants must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19, that she would lose her job. She had been at the television station WLOX for 18 years. And they said, you got to get vaccinated for COVID or you can't work here anymore. She wrote, I am not vaccinated and therefore I am no longer eligible for employment with this television station, which is owned by Gray Television. I can't work here or at any of their stations. And she chose to leave and not get the vaccination. You know, this is happening with a lot of people. There's an NBA player. His name is Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins, and he said he was forced to take the vaccination shot or he wouldn't be able to play. There are different cities where NBA teams are that have rules that say that you're not going to get paid. We're talking piles of money. You're not going to get paid if you don't get the vaccination, because that's how our city is. And we're seeing this now with people who work at all different kinds of jobs. See, nurses at hospitals, doctors at hospitals, all over the place. And they're saying that you have to get the vaccination shot or you can't work here. And I remember when the coronavirus first happened, once it got going, there were all kinds of different jobs where you couldn't work anymore unless you got the vaccination shot. A lot of people were wondering, you know, can places where you work do that to you? Yeah, they can. And I know where we work at our radio station, they said, look, your life will be a lot easier. You'll still have a job to go to if you get the vaccination shot. And I know a lot of people think it stinks. People think that it's our medical care. Isn't that just up to us. Isn't you know others shouldn't have anything to do with our medical care. But when other people are affected, when other people can get sick, if you don't get the vaccination, then it's not just about you. And I have said on this show that it stinks when your personal medical situation isn't just up to you anymore. There are other people involved because other people can get sick and other people can die. That's where we're at here in the year 2021. And the latest story that is making news around here, that this woman, Megan Gray, worked at on this, and she did well for 18 years. She was a morning show television anchor. She said, I'm doing what's best for myself and what's best for her. And there were some other people that feel it's best for them to not work anymore. And instead of getting the vaccination, it's...
Yeah, well, she felt like her integrity was more than a paycheck. She felt like she kept her integrity. She stood by her morals. She stood by what she believed. I mean, it sucks that she, you know, she's no longer employed, but it's a choice that she made. So it's not anybody's fault.
Yeah, it's, look, anybody, everybody can do what they want to do, what they personally feel is best for them. And she said, quote, I know there will be people who disagree with me or who do not understand my reasons. This is fully understood because that is a protected right. Moreover, it is a personal decision for each American, but in my opinion, a forced decision to decide between a vaccination and the livelihood of an individual is a dangerous precedent. She says she tried to keep her job, but her employers rejected her offer to get tested weekly for COVID. She said, look, I don't want to get vaccinated, but I will go at once a week and get tested. And they said no. Her bosses, because again, other people are affected by her decision. And they need to keep everybody that works there as safe as they possibly can. She said it hurts saying goodbye. It hurts parting on these terms. However, I know in my heart it is the right decision for me and my family. Look. And again, there are many people who find themselves in this situation. And I always said, look, if the authorities, the medical people who know best in our country, tell us the best way for us to get back to normal is to get vaccinated, then that's what I will do, because I want people to be safe, and I want life to get back to normal as fast as possible. I'm not thrilled with it. I'm not happy about it, but this is what they're telling us. So I just thought, wow, this woman worked at this station, this television station, doing the morning show for 18 years, and all of a sudden boy, these are the times that we're living in right now, and it stinks. But if the authorities, the medical people that know best in our country, these are the smartest medical people that we have, that they know the best, if this is what they're telling us, then I'll do it. Again, not thrilled with it, not excited about it, but we're seeing this with a bunch of people, and all I can say is do what you think is best for you. And here's where we're at as we sit here in October 2021. We've got a lot to get to this morning on the station, a lot to do. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O., here with you. You know, the mob, the mafia, isn't nearly what it used to be. Even though there were some of the best movies, in my opinion, ever made were about the mafia. I think that the Godfather and the Godfather Part Two. You know, that's one of the rare part twos that is as good as part one in a movie. I love the Godfather Part Two, the where they show the young Don Corleone, played by Robert De Niro, go back to Italy. You know, most times when you see a part two of a movie, it's not nearly as good as part one. But the Godfather Part Two, without a doubt, is right up there, right next to the Godfather Part One when it comes to being a great movie. Well, I was just reading where there are old mobsters who fear handing over the reins to their kids and the younger generation, because they're obsessed with their cell phones, and their cell phones could get them busted and get their family taken down. Again, the mob in the mafia isn't nearly what it used to be, but there is still mafia out there, and the mafia guys, they don't want to hand over their reins to their kids and the younger generation, because they're just attached to their cell phones. They're always on it, and their cell phones could get them busted.
Yeah, okay, so let's break this down. The younger generation are obsessed with their cell phones, and I'm guessing that the older generation is afraid that by using their cell phones during jobs, they'll probably put it on TikTok or something like that, or brag about it, or go Facebook Live while they're doing some of their stuff, or probably make a Facebook post about all the money they made. The thing is, I get it. You don't want information out there. The information could destroy the business. However, how do we know that's how the old mobsters feel if one of the old mobsters didn't leak that out? Like, how did the news outlet figure out that the older mobs don't want the younger guys to get in if that information wasn't leaked already? So there's already leakage in the whole mob organization. We're not even supposed to know about that if people kept their mouth shut.
Yeah. Well, that's a fact that's out there. And I guess it's part of the millennials being soft. And the look, most people, Coleman, can't work without their cell phones. I mean, imagine you trying to get through the day without your cell phones. But the problem is that when what you do for work is illegal, your cell phone can get you in trouble.
So do you think as time goes on and technology gets better and everything starts to go to a more digital platform, that the old way of mobsters the mafia in general, organized crime in general, is going to have to phase out, right? Because they won't be able to work like they used to in the shadows and with subterfuge and all that. At some point, maybe organized crime is just going to vanish and go away, and they won't be. It'll switch to digital crimes like hacking, spamming, and phishing, and scam emails and something like that. It's going to have to transfer to something else.
Yes, seasoned mob bosses are reluctant to make made men out of millennials who they worry lack the street smarts and ruthlessness of their predecessors because they're too obsessed with their cell phones.
Well, as the future goes on, they won't need any street smarts. They're going to need the digital computer smarts. That's where everything's going. Everything's going to be digital at some point. Everything's going to be done online. You know, right now, you don't have to go and racketeer somebody for the money. You can just do Venmo and Cash App. You know, you can bully somebody.
But then that's the stuff that can get you in trouble because...
That's what's going to have to phase out. That's what I'm saying. Organized crime is just going to have to phase out at some point. Those days are done. I mean, it was cool and it was glorified at the time. And yes, they made many. You had the mob bosses, Corleone. I mean, that's a fake one, but Al Capone and all that. But those days are done.
Well, I recently saw an interview and a big story on John Gotti Jr. And he's out of the business now. But they knew years ago he was nothing like his old man. There was a time where he got in a fender bender on the highway, and he got out of his car and he just started beating the crap out of the person he got in the fender bender with. And then the cops showed up and they're like, wait a minute, what are you doing? This is John Gotti Jr. You can't be doing this. I mean, you're John Gotti Jr. When things happen like this, you can't freak out, get yourself arrested, and then have all of the bright lights shining on you when you're a mafia boss, when you're at the top of the mafia. You can't be bringing this much attention to yourself. Mob bosses, mob guys, the last thing in the world they need or want is to have all this attention on them. And so he's been out of the mob for a while. And even his father, you know, John Gotti, as famous as he was, not good for what you do for a living. Not good for the mob. You can't have all of this attention on you. And so I was just reading this story about how a lot of the old time mobsters who are still left, they don't want to hand over the reins to the millennials, the younger generation, because they're all addicted in their cell phones. Not good stuff, and the cops can easily find them, figure out who they are. All right, hang out with us. We got a lot to do on our show this morning. gotta tell you about a mailman who got in trouble because he wouldn't stop urinating on one of his customers' mailboxes. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know what Bayou is? You know what our radio station is? It's Aerosmith and it's Alice in Chains. And it's a bunch of other bands too, but that's what Bayou 95.7 is. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And I just saw this story about a mailman who wouldn't stop urinating on one of his customers' mailboxes. Ew! This story came out of Ohio, near Cleveland. And some woman, a woman there, caught her mailman urinating on her mailbox recently. And it wasn't the first time that he had done it. Can you imagine if you're a mailman, you're a United States Post Office employee, and you have to pee? Out of all the places that you could do it, you end up doing it on a mailbox?
Well, if it isn't the first time he's done it, it seems like he had something in store for that particular mailbox, like it was a targeted hit.
This woman recently moved into a new apartment, and her landlord told her there was an ongoing issue with a mailman who wouldn't stop urinating on their mailboxes.
Oh, so this is not even a freestanding mailbox with a post. This is one of those mailboxes like a mailroom at an apartment complex where everybody's mailbox is like all on a wall, like a P.O. box.
Well, it's an apartment.
Yeah.
And the woman actually saw him do it. Could you imagine you're watching your mailman urinate on your mailbox? So the woman saw him do it. She confronted him. And the story goes, he hadn't even zipped up his pants yet. So the woman is staring at her mailman, and she's staring at her mailman's junk. It was still in full view. It's not clear if he peed on this. I mean, imagine your mailman urinating on your mailbox, and then when you talk to him about it, he's not even fully zipped up yet.
Well, if you get caught in the act, of course he's not fully zipped up yet. You're not. If I saw my mailman urinating on the mailbox, I'm not going to wait till he's finished and he zips up his pants and washes his hands, then go confront him. It's better to catch him in the act. That way he knows that you know that you saw him do what he does. So you have to catch him in the act. You have to catch him when his trial is dropped.
He started yelling at her, Coleman.
Like, hey, I'm not finished yet.
He poured out a water bottle. I guess he wanted to try to wash away some of the urine. She called the cops. The cops tracked the mailman down, And when he was confronted by the police, the United States postal worker told them that he just spilled his water bottle. That seemed a little bit suspicious.
So was he trying to make a one of those roadside cocktails where he was urinating inside the water bottle or he was urinating on the floor?
No, evidently he used the water bottle, he poured the water out to try to wash away the pee.
Okay, I see.
He declined the whole thing. He called the allegation crazy, but the police officer said the mailbox did smell like urine, and he cited him for public indecency. But imagine that you move into a new place, the landlord tells you that there's an issue with the mailman urinating on the mailboxes. You see him, and then you see the mailman's junk, and the cops get involved, and I hope things are going better over there for that woman. And I guess the mailman still does have a job.
I don't know about that. But it is.
He was cited for public indecency, but that was it.
So I guess the post office is going to wait to see what happens before they decide to fire him or not, because they're so understaffed. They need everybody they can get. But on the bright side, though, this is a good excuse not to pay bills. Like if one of my utilities get cut off, I can say, well, look, I didn't get a chance to pay my bill because I didn't want to touch it due to the fact that my mailman is urinating on them.
You know, mail is one of those things that is nothing like it used to be. We don't even need it anymore. I mean, do you really even... How much mail do you actually need?
I don't need those bills.
Hey, coming up on the show, I've got the Big O segment coming up next. It's about a man who should not have a job and probably a lot like this mailman, but this man is famous. He's an NFL football coach, and I don't know how he still has a job this morning as we sit here. Stay tuned for that, and I think you'll agree with me. Maybe you won't. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. And it's a few minutes after 7, so that means it's time for us to do the Big O.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
One of the biggest stories going around right now is the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Urban Meyer. I don't know how he still has a job after what's gone down with him over the last few days. Urban Meyer, a video, actually two videos, of him went viral. And the videos were from a restaurant that he owns in Columbus, Ohio, where he was was in the restaurant, and the videos were an attractive younger woman who was all up next to him at his restaurant. And was it last Friday night? It was the night after the Jaguars lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. They played a game one week ago tonight, last Thursday night, and the Bengals beat Urban Meyer's Jacksonville Jaguars. But then it was the next night. He wasn't with his team. His team had flown back to Jacksonville after losing to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. He was in Columbus, Ohio, at a restaurant he owns. He was up at the bar, and there was the video that went viral was of a young, attractive woman who was next to him, really close to him. And then there was another video, basically close to the same thing. Someone video recorded Urban Meyer and this woman right next to him. The woman was not his wife. As a matter of fact, his wife was at their home with their grandchildren. But Urban Meyer was at his restaurant with this other younger woman. Why Urban Meyer was there with that woman, no one knows. Why he wasn't with his team back in Jacksonville after they lost a football game, which made their record 0-4. He has since apologized profusely. Yesterday, he had a meeting with his team where he again apologized to them. But how he still has a job, I don't know. How can a leader of men expect men to follow what he says and does after this happened? I don't know how he still has a job, to be honest with you. The fact that they're 0-4, and by the way, Urban Meyer, one of the most successful college coaches ever, he may be the second greatest college football coach. I mean, behind Nick Saban.
Well, clearly, being a college coach doesn't transition to being an NFL coach.
Well, there have been guys that aren't able to have any success doing that. There are very few great college football coaches who go on to be successful NFL coaches.
I'm just going to assume Jacksonville probably has a lack of options. Because first of all, like you said, being 0-4, this was after trying to bring Tim Tebow in to be a tight end after, 7 to 9 years or something like that. After he said, hey, left the team on a plane. I think he said he was going to see his grandparents, but he never did. He was at the bar with the little chick, I guess, doing a little lap dance or whatever. Yeah, after all that, why hasn't this guy got fired? And the only thing I can say is maybe Jacksonville doesn't have anyone else to go to. They're kind of stuck with this guy a little bit.
Well, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, his name is Shad Khan.
Yeah, that's Tony Khan's father.
He publicly rebuked He said that he's given Urban Meyer another chance to redeem himself, to show his players that he can be a successful football coach. But I don't understand how he still has a job this morning. You know, when he was a college football coach, he won a national championship at the University of Florida. He won a national championship at Ohio State University when he was the head coach of those two programs.
Yeah, Gulf War Vet says Urban Meyer finished 83-9 at Ohio State Rose Bowl and won a national championship.
No, he was a great college football coach. And so, and then he left coaching college football one time because he said he had a health issue. He had a heart issue. But here he is now in the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is his first year. 0-4. He's 0-4 in 4 weeks coaching in the NFL. And then this happens.
Yeah, and I think when he was trying to explain himself, he even threw Trevor Lawrence under the bus saying, well, he went to Vegas before he was drafted, like trying to make it seem like his actions.
He did do that.
How is he supposed to get respect from the locker room if he just threw his quarterback under the bus to apologize to the public because he wanted to hang out with some chick at his bar?
Why wasn't he with his team? Why didn't he fly back to Jacksonville with his team after they just lost their fourth game to go 0-4?
Now, he said he wanted to blow off some steam. This text says, Urban Meyer is the definition of a Puritan in public, but a pervert in private. I mean, just because I'll say he's an infidel in private, but not a pervert. Getting a lap dance at a bar isn't perverted, is it?
But how could he do this when he's being paid millions of dollars to coach an NFL team and this is what he's doing?
This text says he probably doesn't give a bleep anymore and doesn't care about anything. And this text says his personal life is his personal business, not his job.
And look, I agree, Texter.
Yeah, but when you're 0-4 and then you see this comes out, it kind of gives you an example about why he's 0-4, because he's not hanging out with the team. He's not doing anything to redeem himself when it comes to his stats. So it does look bad. I agree with the texter. Yes, what he does in his personal life is his personal business. But when you're that bad at your job, it doesn't help your case either when you're seen not studying tape or whatever after the game.
No, and when you're paid that much money to be a leader of men, and this, you do this, I don't understand how he still has a job this morning. Do you agree or do you disagree? I mean, look, I agree when the texter says someone's personal life is their personal life, but when you're paid that much money to lead people, and then this is what you're doing in your private time, how possibly could he still have a job? Or do you disagree? Text us. Do you think this man should be out as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars? I do. I don't understand how he still has a job this morning. Text us 504-260-9595. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. And it's a few minutes after 7, so that means it's time for us to do the Big O.
Oh. Oh.
One of the biggest stories going around right now is the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Urban Meyer. I don't know how he still has a job after what's gone down with him over the last few days. Urban Meyer, a video, actually two videos of him went viral. And the videos were from a restaurant that he owns in Columbus, Ohio, where he was in the restaurant, and the videos were a, an attractive younger woman who was all up next to him at his restaurant. And it was from, was it last Friday night? It was the night after the Jaguars lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. They played a game one week ago tonight, last Thursday night, and the Bengals beat Urban Meyer's Jacksonville Jaguars. But then it was the next night. He wasn't with his team. His team had flown back to Jacksonville after losing to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. He was in Columbus, Ohio, at a restaurant he owns. He was up at the bar, and there was the video that went viral was of a young, attractive woman who was next to him, really close to him. And then there was another video, basically close to the same thing. Someone video recorded Urban Meyer and this woman right next to him. The woman was not his wife. As a matter of fact, his wife was at their home with their grandchildren. But Urban Meyer was at his restaurant with this other younger woman. Why Urban Meyer was there with that woman, no one knows. Why he wasn't with his team back in Jacksonville after they lost a football game, which made their record 0-4. He has since apologized profusely. Yesterday, he had a meeting with his team where he again apologized to them. But how he still has a job, I don't know. How can a leader of men expect men to follow what he says and does after this happened? I don't know how he still has a job, to be honest with you. The fact that they're 0-4, and by the way, Urban Meyer, one of the most successful college coaches ever, he may be the second greatest college football coach. I mean, behind Nick Saban.
But clearly, being a college coach doesn't transition to being an NFL coach.
Well, there have been guys that aren't able to have any success doing that. There are very few great college football coaches who go on to be successful NFL coaches.
I'm just going to assume Jacksonville probably has a lack of options. Because after every, like, first of all, like you said, being 0-4, this was after trying to bring Tim Tebow in to be a tight end after, 7 to 9 years or something like that. After he said, hey, left the team on a plane, I think he said he was going to see his grandparents, but he never did. He was at the bar with the little chick, I guess, doing a little lap dance or whatever. Yeah, after all that, why hasn't this guy got fired? And the only thing I can say is maybe Jacksonville doesn't have anyone else to go to. They're kind of stuck with this guy a little bit.
Well, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, his name is Shad Khan.
Yeah, that's Tony Khan's father.
He publicly rebuked and he said that he's given Urban Meyer another chance to redeem himself, to show his players that that he can be a successful football coach. But I don't understand how he still has a job this morning. You know, when he was a college football coach, he won a national championship at the University of Florida. He won a national championship at Ohio State University when he was the head coach of those two programs.
Yeah, Gulf War Vet says Urban Meyer finished 83-9 at Ohio State Rose Bowl and won a national championship.
No, he was a great college football coach, and so and then he left coaching college football one time because he said he had a health issue. He had a heart issue. But here he is now in the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is his first year. 0-4. He's 0-4 in 4 weeks coaching in the NFL. And then this happens.
Yeah, and I think when he was trying to explain himself, he even threw Trevor Lawrence under the bus saying, well, he went to Vegas before he was drafted. Like trying to make it seem like his actions.
He did do that.
Say that. How is he supposed to get respect from the locker room if he just threw his quarterback under the bus to apologize to the public because he wanted to hang out with some chick at his bar?
Why wasn't he with his team? Why didn't he fly back to Jacksonville with his team after they just lost their fourth game to go 0-4?
Now, he said he wanted to blow off some steam. This text says, Urban Meyer is the definition of a Puritan in public, but a pervert in private. I mean, just because I'll say he's an infidel in private, but not a pervert. Getting a lap dance at a bar isn't perverted, is it?
But how could he do this when he's being paid millions of dollars to coach an NFL team and This is what he's doing?
No, this text says he probably doesn't give a bleep anymore and doesn't care about anything. And this text says his personal life is his personal business, not his job.
And look, I agree, Texter.
Yeah, but when you're 0-4 and then you see this comes out, it kind of gives you an example about why he's 0-4, because he's not hanging out with the team. He's not doing anything to redeem himself when it comes to his stats. So it does look bad. I agree with the texter. Yes, what he does in his personal life is his personal business. But when you're that bad at your job, it doesn't help your case either when you're seen not studying tape or whatever after the game.
No, and when you're paid that much money to be a leader of men, And this, you do this? I don't understand how he still has a job this morning. Do you agree or do you disagree? I mean, look, I agree when the texter says someone's personal life is their personal life, but When you're paid that much money to lead people, and then this is what you're doing in your private time, how possibly could he still have a job? Or do you disagree? Text us. Do you think this man should be out as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars? I do. I don't understand how he still has a job this morning. Text us 504-260-9595. Keep it short. Just one or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Please never text while you're driving. Or do you think this is something that it doesn't look good, but he could still be a good football coach and lead a team? I don't understand how he still has a job this morning. Text us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Hey, you know who died on this day? October 7th? Back in 1956, the father of frozen food, Clarence Birdseye died after a long battle with freezer burn. You know, they say frozen vegetables are the best type of vegetable, better than a canned vegetable, even better than grabbing it fresh right off of the shelf, because they say when they pick vegetables, and as soon as they pick them, if they freeze them, that keeps all the greatness in them.
I don't buy it.
You don't believe that?
Nah, I had a frozen cucumber before. It wasn't all that hot.
But I've read where frozen vegetables, if they're frozen right after they're picked, then that keeps all the everything that's good about a vegetable inside that vegetable. Did you hear that? Hey, coming up next, your texts on Urban Meyer shouldn't have a job anymore as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? We're going to get your because the videos that there's two of them that went viral of him at his restaurant with the very attractive younger woman. How can a man who's paid that much money to be a leader of men still have that job after he did what he did? Your text on that next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. And if you're just joining us, this morning's Big O is about the football coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Urban Meyer. A week ago, starting 6 nights ago, I guess that's when it happened, a couple of videos went viral of him in the restaurant he owns with a younger woman, not his wife. I mean, this happened the night after his team lost the Thursday night football game last week, the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Cincinnati Bengals. He wasn't even with them. He didn't fly back to Jacksonville with them. They're 0-4. And a video went viral of him the next night in his restaurant with a younger woman, not his wife. I say the guy should be fired. He shouldn't have a job. How could you make millions of dollars like that to be a leader of men, and then you act like that? I asked you to text us. Do you agree? Do you think he should be out of a job?
Real quick, this first text says, why should he be fired for anything he does in his private life? You don't get fired for going to the bar and drinking.
No, but like I just said, when you're paid millions of dollars to be a leader of men, and then that's what you're doing, how do you expect anyone to listen to you?
Ray Marrero says, he lost the game. It made him feel better with the beer and a handful of ass. Steven says, I disagree with you. Why should he be fired? He did nothing wrong. He did nothing illegal. I don't get it.
Again, you're paid millions of dollars to be a leader of men, and this is what you're doing on your private time? You're not with your wife. How do you expect them to listen to you?
This text says, why is it that every time someone practices an American right to live their life, there's always somebody from the cancel culture demanding they get fired? This is America. You can cheat on your wife. It's not against the law.
Hey, I'm no fan of the cancel culture. I hate the cancel culture. They're 0-4. He's not even flying home with them. He's not with his team, and this is what he's doing? I don't understand how you can get paid that much money to lead people, and this is how you're living your life.
Would it be an issue if Jacksonville was 4-0?
It's a good question, but you put everything together.
In his last text, from a female football fan, the only apology he needs to is to his family and wife. Good grief. So yeah, I guess people don't really care about the whole infidelity thing. They don't care.
While his wife was home with the grandkids while he was doing that, and the biggest question is, which one of our texters asked us, what if they were a good football team? And this is his first year coaching a very bad team. And he was a fantastic college football coach. He won the national championship when he was coaching the Florida Gators. He won the national championship when he was coaching the Ohio State Buckeyes. I mean, it's still his first year with Jacksonville. That hasn't translated into being a great NFL coach yet. But boy, oh boy, when you're doing things like this and you're asking guys to follow you, it's kind of tough, isn't it? Hey, coming up next on the show, Coleman did something yesterday that I got to tell you about. That's next. Because it surprised me. And I'm going to ask you if you would do the same thing. I don't think you would. It's next here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here. And tonight, Thursday night football, it's the first game of the new week. And if you haven't signed up for King of the Bayou, make your football picks, win cool prizes. You should do that at our website, bayou957.com. Each week, whoever picks the most winners, no point spread. You just got to pick the winner of the games. You win $50 to go spend at Zapardo's Family Ching. Family Market. And that's really cool. And it's easy, it's fun, it's free. Sign up on our website. Just go to bayou957.com. Click on the King of the Bayou. And it only takes a second. Tonight should be a good game. The Los Angeles Rams are playing the Seattle Seahawks. Coleman, who do you like?
I had to go with Seattle.
You're going with Seattle tonight?
Yeah.
I think the Rams are a better football team.
Yeah, but
the game is in Seattle.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, I conquer King of the Bayou by waiting for upsets. Anybody can go in there and just pick who they think is going to win based on who's the better team. But it's all about the upsets. By trying to predict the upsets, that's what gets you ahead.
There are always upsets. That's what's great. Should be an entertaining game to watch tonight. And hey, pick the games for free and win prizes. And our King of the Bayou. Something happened yesterday when Coleman and I were leaving the radio station. And I found it very interesting. We get on the elevator to go down after the show. We're leaving the radio station. And Coleman said, hey, look on the floor. There's a $5 bill. We were the only two on the elevator riding down. And I then said to Coleman, well, pick it up. You saw it first. And Coleman said, no, I'm not picking it up. And I said, why not? And you basically thought that there could be cameras in the elevator and that the $5 bill, it might be some kind of setup or trick.
Yeah,
is that what you thought it was?
I'm highly suspicious of situations like that. I for some reason, I feel like I'm still not supposed to be in this building. Like, it hasn't dawned on me yet that I have this job. So when I walk the halls and anywhere I think there's a camera, I try to be on my best behavior because I think at any point in time, they're going to kick me out. Like, who's this guy? You know what I'm saying? So when I walk the halls in the hallway, I walk right in the middle of the hallways. I don't touch any doorknobs or anything. So when we got into the elevator and I saw the $5, I was like, you know what? This could be a setup. There's cameras in the elevator. Somebody might be watching me like bait car, so I'm not going to touch it. I had that paranoia still in me.
Really? Just it's a $5 bill sitting on the ground.
It could be a setup. That's how I think. Or what if somebody came back and looked for it, and we're coming out the elevator, and they come in the elevator, and they're looking for that. I knew I dropped the five here. Then they start looking at us. You know when we come in the building right there, the little security desk, the little security office there?
Yeah.
Some of those cameras look in the elevator. They watch us. They see us. They can see it. Now, are they paying attention or not is a different story. But, yeah, some of those cameras on those TV monitors, some of them are in the elevator. So I wasn't taking a chance.
So you're thinking you would be doing something wrong by picking up a $5 bill that you see on the elevator floor?
Yes. Now, if we were outside.
To me, that's a wild way to think.
It's the same thing as losing a wallet. You know, it's the same thing as losing, you know, somebody else's. It was in my five. I didn't drop it. Now, if we were outside the building, it would have been a different story. Like, if we'd have found that same $5 bill on the sidewalk, yeah, I probably would have picked that up. But in the elevator with the cameras, nah.
So the elevator doors, the elevator's going down. The door's going to open soon when we get to the first floor. I'm looking at Coleman saying, you're not picking that up. You saw it first. And you pointed around and you said, maybe cameras or whatever. So I picked it up.
Yes, you did.
I picked it up. And if somebody came in and said, hey, I dropped a $5 bill, I would have said, oh, here, I just found it on the ground. I would have probably reached into my pocket and given it back to them. But the door opened up. We walked out of the elevator door like we do every day, and we left.
Yeah, I felt like we was in Ocean's 11 when we were leaving too. I felt like we just got done doing a heist. I know it's not that big of a deal in real life, but that's just the way my brain thinks. Like, if I touched, just the way my life works, if I touch this $5 bill right now, alarms are going to go off. People are going to be outside the elevator with cameras. Like, we knew somebody was going to touch it. Like, I just have that kind of mindset. Like, when things are going too good, like, man, this $5, I can use it. Something stupid always happens, right? Like, right after that. Like it's karma or something.
If I take the $5 bill out of my wallet right now and give it to you, will you take it?
Oh, yeah, no. We could just know. I don't think there's any cameras in this studio.
See, now you'll take it.
Yeah, because I don't think we're being watched right now, even though thousands of people are listening to us talk about it. But hell yeah, I would take that $5 bill right now. I wasn't going to take it in the elevator where I know there's cameras. No.
Man, okay, I'm gonna give you that $5.
Okay. How long has it been in your wallet, though? Because I seen you eating a muffin over there. I didn't want you to blow, like, have it silent but deadly all in your wallet.
No, but whether it's the exact same $5 bill that I picked up off the floor of the elevator yesterday and put in my wallet,
mm-hmm.
or it's a different $5 bill, what difference does it make? You saw the $5 bill sitting on the floor in the elevator. You pointed it out to me. You refused to pick it up. And then before the door opened on the first floor, I said, I'm going to pick it up. There's a $5 bill sitting on the floor.
Well, guess what? See, that's karma. That's what I was talking about. If you're really going to give me the $5 just because I didn't touch that $5 in the elevator, that means it was meant for me. That means that's good karma coming back around. I did a good moral thing. I said, hey, I'm not touching the $5. And all of a sudden, it comes back to me. See, that's how goodwill works. Oh, hey, thank you, John.
Here, take the $5.
Hell yeah, I'll take this $5.
I just gave Coleman the $5 right now.
Cha-ching. Look at that. See how things work out?
Because all day I was thinking about that yesterday. I was thinking, why wouldn't he pick up that $5 bill? But you thinking because you're in the elevator at work where we work, you're thinking there might be a setup or there might be something going on. But so now a day went by.
Yeah.
And we're good?
Yeah. Hell yeah, we're good. Right. I think that's how all things work. You're bringing something to the police station, and nobody claims it. It's, well, yeah, it's yours, right?
All right, coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. This morning is a doozy. We still got a couple of other things we got to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Did you see the movie The Departed? That's the movie that was based on James Whitey Bulger, the Irish mafia boss up in Boston. It's a great movie. Martin Scorsese made that movie, and it's got Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg. It also has Jack Nicholson in that movie, and Jack Nicholson played the character. It was a different name in the movie, but he played the character that was based on Whitey Bulger. And again, it was a Boston crime family. Jack Nicholson, there's a rumor going around, and it looks like Mark Wahlberg cleared up that rumor. Jack Nicholson refused to wear a Boston Red Sox cap in that movie. because he's a big Yankees fan, a big New York Yankees fan in real life, who, even though we all know Whitey Bulger is a Boston Red Sox fan, I mean, he's a Boston guy. The story goes Jack Nicholson refused to wear the Boston Red Sox hat in that movie because he loves the New York Yankees so much. And isn't that something if Martin Scorsese let him get away with that?
I mean, he is Jack Nicholson, right?
He is Jack Nicholson. Isn't that something?
If you wanted all red M&Ms in his green room, you give Jack Nicholson all red M&Ms in his green room.
Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this is something that a couple of guys did at their friend's wedding. That's next on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Men fined after setting off distress flares at wedding, sparking a $100,000 search. Listen to this. These two guys, they, their buddy was getting married. So they wanted to do something special for their friend getting married.
Okay.
They live in Rhode Island. What they did was they set off in a small boat before their friend was going to say, I do. And when they got out in the water, they fired three red flares off the shoreline when they were in view of all of the wedding guests at their friend's wedding. They video recorded themselves setting off the flares and posted those videos on social media before returning to shore. Meanwhile, there were people not at the wedding who saw the flares, and when they saw the flares, they believed someone needed help. So they called authorities.
911, what's your emergency?
Well, the Coast Guard and local authorities spent hours scouring the water and shoreline near where the red flares were set off. The combined cost of the search, which involved a surface vessel and two Coast Guard helicopters, was more than $100,000.
Cha-ching!
So these two guys, they were sued by the Coast Guard, and wait a minute. Look how much money we spent looking for people because these two red distress flares went off and a bunch of people saw them and they called us. So we sent helicopters and vessels and we searched for a while and we obviously didn't find anything because it was these two guys who were trying to put on a little show for their friend's wedding.
In all fairness, their friend was about to make the worst decision of his life, so it is a cause for distress. This dude was about to get married. Yes, set off all the flares, ring some bells, set an alarm. This dude was about to make a terrible decision and ruin his life. Yes, I think it was completely...
So you think the red distress flares,
yes,
were warranted?
Yes, it's the warning of his friend's life. Don't do it! Don't do it! So yeah, I think it was completely worth it.
How about that, though? I mean, here's two guys. They're both around 30 years old. their friend's getting married.
Which is a cause for emergency. That is an emergency situation.
Well, they go to the wedding and they want to do something special for their friend.
Like save his life.
So they go out into the water because these people got married on the water. They live in Rhode Island. And they're in a boat off the shore and they shoot a couple of red flares up just to look pretty cool. I'm sure the wedding guests and I'm sure their buddy who was getting married saw it and said, wow, that's pretty cool. Thanks, guys.
Too bad it didn't work because the dude still ended up getting married.
Well, the dude did get married. And his two friends, they just settled this deal this week in court. They each agreed to pay a $5,000 statutory civil penalty to settle the case. So doing that cost each of those guys $5,000. And they still got off pretty easy when you think about the Coast Guard saying, well, we spent about $100,000, over $100,000, searching for people when we saw those red distress flares in the sky.
But it was off and not because the dude still ended up getting married.
Coleman, there are some married people that are happy.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. There are some people on meth that are happy as well.
Anyways... The two guys who fired off red distress flares from a small boat offshore to celebrate their friend's wedding, and then look what happened after that. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here. And tonight, Thursday night football, it's the first game of the new week. And if you haven't signed up for King of the Bayou, make your football picks, win cool prizes. You should do that at our website, bayou957.com. Each week, whoever picks the most winners, no point spread. You just got to pick the winner of the games. You win $50 to go spend at Zapardo's family market. And that's really cool. And it's easy, it's fun, it's free. Sign up on our website. Just go to bayou957.com. Click on the King of the Bayou. And it only takes a second. Tonight should be a good game. The Los Angeles Rams are playing the Seattle Seahawks. Coleman, who do you like?
I had to go with Seattle.
You're going with Seattle tonight?
Yeah.
I think the Rams are a better football team.
Yeah, but
the game is in Seattle.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, I conquer King of the Bayou by waiting for upsets. Anybody can go in there and just pick who they think is going to win based on who's the better team. But it's all about the upsets. By trying to predict the upsets, that's what gets you ahead.
There are always upsets. That's what's great. Should be an entertaining game to watch tonight. And hey, pick the games for free and win prizes. And our King of the Bayou. Something happened yesterday when Coleman and I were leaving the radio station. And I found it very interesting. We get on the elevator to go down after the show. We're leaving the radio station. And Coleman said, hey, look on the floor. There's a $5 bill. We were the only two on the elevator riding down. And I then said to Coleman, well, pick it up. You saw it first. And Coleman said, no, I'm not picking it up. And I said, why not? And you basically thought that there could be cameras in the elevator, and that the $5 bill, it might be some kind of setup or trick.
Yeah,
is that what you thought it was?
Yeah, I'm highly suspicious of situations like that. I feel like I'm still not supposed to be in this building. Like, it hasn't dawned on me yet that I have this job. So when I walk the halls or anywhere I think there's a camera, I try to be on my best behavior, because I think at any point in time they're going to kick me out. Like, who's this guy? You know what I'm saying? So when I walk the halls in the hallway, I walk right in the middle of the hallways. I don't touch any doorknobs or anything. So when we got into the elevator and I saw the $5, I was like, you know what? This could be a setup. There's cameras in the elevator. Somebody might be watching me like bait car, so I'm not going to touch it. I had that paranoia still in me.
Really? It's a $5 bill sitting on the ground.
It could be a setup. That's how I think. Oh, what if somebody came back and looked for it, and we're coming out the elevator, and they come in the elevator, and they're looking for that. I knew I dropped the five here. Then they start looking at us. You know when we come in the building right there, the little security desk, the little security office they have? Some of those cameras look in the elevator. They watch us. They see us. They can see it. Now, are they paying attention or not is a different story. But, yeah, some of those cameras on those TV monitors, some of them are in the elevator. So I wasn't taking a chance.
So you're thinking you would be doing something wrong by picking up a $5 bill that you see on the elevator floor?
Yes. Now, if we were outside.
To me, that's a wild way to think.
It's the same thing as losing a wallet. You know, it's the same thing as losing, somebody else's. It was in my five. I didn't drop it. Now, if we were outside the building, it would have been a different story. Like, if you'd have found that same $5 bill on the sidewalk, I probably would have picked that up. But in the elevator with the cameras, nah.
So the elevator doors, the elevator's going down. The door's going to open soon when we get to the first floor. I'm looking at Coleman saying, you're not picking that up. You saw it first, and you pointed around, and you said maybe cameras or whatever. So I picked it up.
Yes, you did.
I picked it up. And if somebody came in and said, hey, I dropped a $5 bill, I would have said, oh, here, I just found it on the ground. I would have probably reached into my pocket and given it back to them. But the door opened up. We walked out of the elevator door like we do every day, and we left.
Yeah, I felt like we was in Ocean's 11 when we were leaving too. I felt like we just got done doing a heist. I know it's not that big of a deal in real life, but that's just the way my brain thinks. Like, if I touched, just the way my life works, if I touch this $5 bill right now, alarms are going to go off. People are going to be outside the elevator with cameras. Like, we knew somebody was going to touch it. Like, I just have that kind of mindset. Like, when things are going too good, like, man, this $5, I can use it. Something stupid always happens, right? Like, right after that. Like it's karma or something.
If I take the $5 bill out of my wallet right now and give it to you, will you take it?
Oh, yeah, no. We could just know that I don't think there's any cameras in this state, in this studio.
See, now you'll take it.
Yeah, because I don't think we're being watched right now, even though thousands of people are listening to us talk about it. But hell yeah, I would take that $5 bill right now. I wasn't going to take it in the elevator where I know there's cameras. No.
Man, okay, I'm gonna give you that $5.
Okay. How long has it been in your wallet, though? Because I seen you eating a muffin over there. I didn't want you to blow, like, have a silent but deadly all in your wallet.
No, but whether it's the exact same $5 bill that I picked up off the floor of the elevator yesterday and put in my wallet, or it's a different $5 bill, what difference does it make? You saw the $5 bill sitting on the floor in the elevator. You pointed it out to me. You refused to pick it up. And then before the door opened on the first floor, I said, I'm going to pick it up. There's a $5 bill sitting on the floor.
Well, guess what? See, that's karma. That's what I was talking about. If you're really going to give me the $5 just because I didn't touch that $5 in the elevator, that means it was meant for me. That means that's good karma coming back around. I did a good moral thing. I said, hey, I'm not touching the $5. And all of a sudden, it comes back to me. See, that's how goodwill works. Oh, hey, thank you, John.
Here, take the $5.
Hell yeah, I'll take this $5.
I just gave Coleman the $5 right now.
Cha-ching.
Look at that. See how things work out?
Because all day I was thinking about that yesterday. I was thinking, why wouldn't he pick up that $5 bill? You thinking because you're in the elevator at work where we work, you're thinking there might be a setup or there might be something going on. But so now a day went by.
Yeah.
And we're good?
Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah, we're good. Right. I think that's how all things work. You're bringing something to the police station and nobody claims it. It's, well, yeah, it's yours, right?
All right, coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. This morning is a doozy. We still got a couple of other things we got to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Did you see the movie The Departed? That's the movie that was based on James Whitey Bulger, the Irish mafia boss up in Boston. It's a great movie. Martin Scorsese made that movie, and it's got Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg. It also has Jack Nicholson in that movie, and Jack Nicholson played the character. It was a different name in the movie, but he played the character that was based on Whitey Bulger. And again, it was about Boston crime family. Jack Nicholson, there's a rumor going around, and it looks like Mark Wahlberg cleared up that rumor. Jack Nicholson refused to wear a Boston Red Sox cap in that movie because he's a big Yankees fan, a big New York Yankees fan in real life. Who, even though we all know Whitey Bulger is a Boston Red Sox fan, I mean, he's a Boston guy. The story goes Jack Nicholson refused to wear the Boston Red Sox hat in that movie because he loves the New York Yankees so much. And isn't that something if Martin Scorsese let him get away with that?
I mean, he is Jack Nicholson, right?
He is Jack Nicholson. Isn't that something?
If you wanted all red M&Ms in his green room, you give Jack Nicholson all red M&Ms in his green room.
Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this is something that a couple of guys did at their friend's wedding. That's next on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Men fined after setting off distress flares at wedding, sparking a $100,000 search. Listen to this. These two guys, their buddy was getting married, so they wanted to do something special for their friend getting married.
Okay.
They live in Rhode Island. What they did was they set off in a small boat before their friend was going to say, I do. And when they got out in the water, they fired three red flares off the shoreline when they were in view of all of the wedding guests at their friend's wedding. They video recorded themselves setting off the flares and posted those videos on social media before returning to shore. Meanwhile, there were people not at the wedding who saw the flares, and when they saw the flares, they believed someone needed help. So they called authorities.
911, what's your emergency?
Well, the Coast Guard and local authorities spent hours scouring the water and shoreline near where the red flares were set off. The combined cost of the search, which involved a surface vessel and two Coast Guard helicopters was more than $100,000.
Cha-ching!
So these two guys, they were sued by the Coast Guard, and it's, wait a minute, look how much money we spent looking for people because these two red distress flares went off, and a bunch of people saw them and they called us. So we sent helicopters and vessels and we searched for a while, and we obviously didn't find anything because it was these two guys who were trying to put on a little show for their friend's wedding.
In all fairness, their friend was about to make the worst decision of his life, so it is a cause for distress. This dude was about to get married. Yes, yeah, set off all the flares, ring some bells, set an alarm. This dude was about to make a terrible decision and ruin his life. Yes, I think it was completely...
So you think the red distress flares,
yes,
were warranted?
Yes, it's the warning of his friend's life. Don't do it! Don't do it! So yeah, I think it was completely worth it.
How about that, though? I mean, here's two guys. They're both around 30 years old. Their friend's getting married.
Which is a cause for emergency. That is an emergency situation.
Well, they go to the wedding and they want to do something special for their friend.
Like save his life.
So they go out into the water because these people got married on the water. They live in Rhode Island. And they're in a boat off the shore and they shoot a couple of red flares up just to... Looked pretty cool. I'm sure the wedding guests and I'm sure their buddy who was getting married saw it and said, wow, that's pretty cool. Thanks, guys.
Too bad it didn't work because the dude still ended up getting married.
Well, the dude did get married. See? And his two friends, they just settled this deal this week in court. They each agreed to pay a $5,000 statutory civil penalty to settle the case. So doing that cost each of those guys $5,000. And they still got off pretty easy when you think about the Coast Guard saying, well, we spent about $100,000, over $100,000, searching for people when we saw those red distress flares in the sky.
But it was off and on because the dude still ended up getting married.
Coleman, there are some married people that are happy.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. There are some people on meth that are happy as well.
Mm. Anyways, the two guys who fired off red distress flares from a small boat offshore to celebrate their friend's wedding... And then look what happened after that. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.